You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Okay. Now, the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 23. And I just got a few things to share with you tonight. And one of them is that you have to resist the devil. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Amen. You have to resist him. You have to resist him. Kind of the same way you have to do fire ants. You know, they don't just quit coming. You know, these things. We've got glue traps all over my house. If you walk into my house, you'll probably step on one of them. We had some painters in there, and every time he'd step on one of them, he'd be walking through the house with a glue trap on his leg, on his foot, just like that. But where we live, we have a lot of spiders. And I mean, if you don't come against them, if you don't do something about it, that place is absolutely, they'll be crawling on you. And you know what's bad is to wake up in the middle of the night and grab a big spider off your neck. Amen? And so we have all kind of glue traps all over the place to catch all the critters. But it says in chapter 16 and verse 22, talking about resisting. There's a scripture in the Old Covenant, and I don't remember where it is right now, but it says that the devil is amazed because he puts his hand under a hen that's on a nest and takes an egg out, and the hen never says anything, never makes a move, never squawks, and that the devil is actually amazed at the non-resistance that the church puts up. He can't understand why they don't resist, why they don't do something about it. So the Bible says here we're going to talk about resisting the devil. And it says in verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee, talking about the cross. But he turned, now listen how Jesus dealt with this. And he said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. And he turned around and he spoke to him and resisted him, and he told him where to go. Amen. Now, I want to make one other point. Did you know Peter didn't even realize he was being used? Now, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that you can be talking and you can be talking to somebody and actually the devil's using you, and if you don't watch it, some of the things you're saying really is what the devil wanted you to say to them? It was amazing to me that Peter didn't even realize that the devil was using him. But you saw real quick that Jesus, he picked up real quick and he said, get thee behind me, and he began to resist him. Every storm, the storm, he would resist the storm. He would resist the thievers. He would rebuke the devils. I mean, everywhere he went, when he came to a mountain, he'd say, mountain, be thou cast into the sea. He said, you know, he would resist the mountains. So he would go into a church and can you imagine throwing people out of a church? He wouldn't last too long in the ministry these days, would he? He'd just come in, he'd get the, did you know, but after he straightened the church out, and after he cleaned up the church, then the Bible says the lame came to him, then the sick came to him, and they were able to come into the church and get healed. After he resisted some things. Amen. Amen. And so he says, but then he turned and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for you are an offense unto me. In other words, I resist you, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Termites are the same way. Fire ants are the same way. Bro, you don't resist them. I mean, brother, they take over. Amen. We're not just immune to that stuff. It comes to us, and yet we're called by God's word to resist it. It's not just going to not show up. I want you to look in the book of James, chapter 4 and verse 7. James 4 and verse 7. Now, I don't know if you've ever had to resist anything for very long. But two or three times, I've had to resist it for weeks. You know, it's hard. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you're resisting and you're resisting and you're rebuking and you're resisting. But the Bible says if you'll keep it up, the thing's going to go. Amen?
Amen.
So keep on resisting. In verse 7, it says in the book of James, chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, submit yourselves first, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and the Bible said he will flee from you. And that word resist right there is the word antihistamine, and it's the stuff that you blow up your nose. Have you ever got hooked on that? You know, you put it up your nose and you think, because you know, breathing is a wonderful experience. And so you're not used to breathing. A lot of people on one side of my nose doesn't work very well. And the other side, really my nose is really just for looks. It doesn't hardly work. It's true. It's been hit so many times, it doesn't hardly work. But you can get an antihistamine and you can blow it up one side and just And I always to have all that air, you know. And you just breathe that air and go on. But then the next day it stopped up twice as bad. So you can get hooked on those antihistamines, but it means to push back. An antihistamine, when you push it up your nose, it pushes all the vessels back, all the tissues back, and opens it up. So the Bible says right here, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, or antihistamine the devil, and the Bible said he will flee from you. Now somebody said, no, bless God, he didn't flee from me. Well listen, either he flees from you or he doesn't. What you've got to believe is that when you say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go, you've got to believe, bless God, he went. Amen. You can't go back checking. You can't go back wondering. You can't go back, I don't know if it's going to work or not. You've got to say, bless God, the Bible says that if I resist the devil, he'll flee from me. I resisted him, so praise God, he's gone. Amen. And I loose. It says over there, whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you loose is loose. That heaven is actually reacting to you. Heaven's looking down there to see if Moses' arms are up in the air. Heaven's looking to Moses to see what to do. We're waiting on heaven to do something. Heaven is waiting to see, well, did you bind it? Did you resist it? Did you get your hands up in the air? Are you up there praising God and lifting up God? And then heaven moves according to what you do. I mean, it's predicated on what you... Heaven answers to earth. Heaven answers to earth. Submit yourselves, the Bible says, therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he shall. Listen, he shall flee from you. I had a guy come to my church one time. He drove all the way from Virginia or somewhere. Walks up to my church. Thank God the service was overing. It was ending. Everybody was out in the parking lot. This guy walks up and wants to go into the church and sit down. I had met him once before. And he sat down on the front row and he said, I've got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he did some stuff which was gibberish is about all it was. And so I laid my hands on him to pray for him, and this voice spoke out of him. And you know, that's scary. He is a lot bigger than me too. He's a pretty big old guy. He looked at me and he said this strange dark Vader voice. He says, and this was before Star Wars even came out. He said, I can't say it like that, it gives me chill bumps. He says, you have no power. Boy, I stand there, you know, with my hands. He said, you have no power. He scared me so bad that I just grabbed him right by the head. I grabbed him by the head. I said, yeah, I got the power. And I said, in the name of Jesus. And I had one little old guy that had just got saved. I said, you better leave. He went out the front door. Because I said, you can't handle this. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of him. And I said it once or twice. And then he said, yeah, come out of me. Come out of me. Get out of me. And I got him down on the carpet and led him to the Lord right there. That's a true story. Amen. But I mean, he come in there to intimidate. He came in there to say, you don't have any power. I had my hands on him. He looks at me and said, you hadn't gotten any power. I mean, he's going to drive this bluff like he's playing poker. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's going to lay it all on there and expect me. But if you will call his bluff, he'll back down. You know, I even had to grab his hands. He had the biggest old hands. You know, and I was just a little guy, but I'd boxed all my life, and I started to just jump back and go, pow, 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 pow. I said, boy, I can handle you. I know what to do. Because he was bigger than me, and you know, you don't wrestle in big boys like. But anyway, I grabbed his hands like that, and this was the funniest feeling. When I grabbed his hands and pulled them, it's like they had no power. It was like they were just real limp and had no power in them. It was the strangest thing. It was like they just went limp. And then he said, he started getting in agreement with me. He said, yeah, get out of me. I mean, when you got them to where they start saying, yeah, come out of me, you're on the way. Amen. You're on the way to resisting the devil and getting the devil out of there. Or he'd have come in there, man, I don't know what he was going to do, take over the church, I guess, and be the preacher. Well, I done run the preacher out of here, so. But it says, the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist, and listen, y'all, resist the devil, antihistamine the devil. And the Bible said, he will flee from you. He will flee from you. Then in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Or he can harass you for a long, long time. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Brother Osteen tells a story about this little girl. She had warts, and You know, there's warts and there's warts. It's kind of, if you've ever seen a seed wart, it's a wart where there's just, it's just like four or five or six little warts in a pocket. It's a ugly, ugly little thing. And she had about 24 seed warts on her. And the Lord spoke to this guy, and he said, how long are you going to let that happen? How long are you going to let that go on? And he said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, why don't you go in there? He said, you're liable for everything that happens in the house. He said, why don't you go in there and do something about that? Not only that, I know another family where there was so many suicides. There was suicide after suicide after suicide. I mean, the cousin committed suicide, then there was another one over here, another one over here. And finally, God spoke to one of the guys. He said, if you don't do something about this, he said, he's going to wipe out the whole bunch. He said, if somebody doesn't stand up and say, in the name of Jesus, you got to leave this clan, he's fixing to come through and just wipe out the whole bunch. True story. That's a true story. Well, this other one was talking. He said, what you going to do about these warts? So he spoke to him. Said, I command you, went in and said, I command you in the name of Jesus. I command every wart to come off of my daughter. In Jesus' name, you don't want all that on your little baby girls. Can I have an amen? Amen. So he commanded them all to come off of him. And of course, you know what happened? They didn't. Well, they didn't move. I mean, you know, the fig tree, when Jesus cursed the fig tree, you couldn't tell any difference right then. But when you begin resisting, you don't always see a lot of big difference right at the very first. Boy, this is what separates the men from the boys and the women from the girls, because I mean, it stayed the same. So he continued to come against it, and I don't know, it went on for maybe, I don't know, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I don't know how long it was. And the little girl was looking at her arm one day and saying, well, Daddy says that these warts are gone. She's, you know, he's calling those things that be not as though they were. Calling means to incite, to stir up. It means to summons, to call into the spirit realm and call this thing to come and manifest itself. And I know Daddy's calling it and saying they're gone, but they're not. And she looked off, and then she looked back, and they had all disappeared. Brother Hagin had the same thing happen to his little girl. She had one wart come up that would they said hang down somehow over her eye, and they took her in. And they said, this is not the one that's going to go away. It's just going to get bigger, and it's finally going to just hang down over her eye. So he just, in the name of Jesus, cursed it. And about the time he cursed it, the devil said, well, now you get up out of bed and go see if it's gone. Go check and see if it's gone. And Brother Hagin said, I don't need to go check and see if it's gone. I've rebuked it in the name of Jesus, and the thing's leaving. Can I have an amen? Amen. See, you don't go and dig up your seed, checking it every 5 minutes from doubt and unbelief. You leave it, you know it's working, praise God, you thank God. You don't know exactly how God does it, but God's doing it, and you're just going to stand there. Our whole job is to stand there and give glory to God. Not double check nothing. I'm not going to double check. I'm not looking over God's shoulder to see if God's word's really going to work. Can I have an amen? Amen. Praise God. But I'm going to stand there and say, Father, I praise you and thank you and give you all the glory right now. If that wart's coming off of that baby, and I love you and I praise you for it, and you just go on your way. And Satan, I resist you, and you get out of here in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, the next morning they get up, the wart's still there. I mean, that's when most everybody quits. I mean, if it don't happen in 10 minutes, if we can't get it fast food, like real fast, well, then we quit. You know, we've gotten that way in a lot of international affairs. If things don't happen real quick, we just quit. Can I have an amen? So anyway, Brother Hagin goes on. He gets up the next morning. It's still there. Well, it goes on about 2 or 3 weeks. And then one day, she's riding in the car like, you know, we shouldn't have done this when we were growing up. And they shouldn't have done it to us or something. But you remember before seat belts? And we had a little 3-year-old girl or a little boy. Well, I know this was dumb, but we'd stand them up in the seat right beside us. You know, and they'd stand up. They're about as tall as you were. You know, because they were only about this tall. They'd stand up in that seat with granddaddy or with daddy, you know, and just ride them all over the place. Well, she had gotten up in the seat. She was sitting there right beside Brother Hagin. They were driving down the road. He looked over at her, and it was gone. Well, he went back to check with the mother, because the mothers always keep up on this kind of stuff. Amen? Mamas know when it's there. They're going to know within minutes. They're going to know within seconds and minutes. And she said, you know, that thing fell off a week ago. It fell off a week ago. But I mean, you could accept it, you could, you could resist it. Amen. And just resist it. You know, even let's look at it like this. Well, you know, Brother Don, what if it don't go? Well, just look at it like this. If the Bible says it's going to go, it's going to go. But if it didn't go, I would die resisting it. Can I have an amen? You see what I'm talking about? You see what I'm talking about? See, because you got to get this down right here. It's not how much God, although that's true and God will do it and God will do every bit of that. I'm not serving God and I'm not faithful because every little thing happens that I want to happen. I'm going to tell you, it's going to happen whether it happens on this side. If this line right here, if this is earth and this is heaven, it's going to happen whether I want it to happen on this side. I'm like y'all, amen. I'm believing God. I'm going to die believing God. Well, what if it don't happen? Well, put on my tombstone. Brother Don died believing God. Amen. Yeah. Brother Hagin said he'd hate to die any other way. Said I died believing God. But either on this side or on that side, that promise is going to come to pass. Amen. Do you see what I'm talking about? I want it on this side. But if I blow it, if I do something, whatever the reason, it's not going to be God. It's not going to be God's fault. But if it doesn't manifest, it's my job to believe God. That's my job. I knew one guy, he said, well, I'm just not being effective. I'm just not effective enough. You know, I just don't have enough TVs going on. I don't have enough things going on. I'm just not being very, very effective. And I'll effective this and effective that. It's not about being effective. It's not about looking around and seeing if you're a big shot or not, or if you've done enough or not. The whole deal is not about being effective. It's about being faithful. And the Lord talked to this guy. He said, Lord, I'm just not effective. I'm going to quit the ministry because I'm not being very effective. And the Lord said, and of course, you know, the Lord is always sweet about it. And he said, don't be so concerned about being effective, what you think is effective. He said, be concerned about being faithful. Amen. Be concerned because the promise will come to pass. It's going to come to pass. Hopefully it's going to come to pass on this side of the line. Amen. But it is going to come to pass. And he said, your job is to be faithful. Your job is to believe God. Your job is not to put time limits on God and all this kind of stuff, but you're just going to, listen, you're going to resist the devil. You're going to be faithful and you're going to wait quietly on God and praise and thank Him for His promises till the day we die. Can I have an amen? You know, the Bible talks about people in the Old Testament. It says some of them would not accept deliverance, had their heads cut off, I mean, they had some things happen, would not accept deliverance, that they might have a greater reward in heaven, that they saw afar off the born-again experience. They saw the new covenant people. They saw what would be one day, and they saw it, and they embraced it, and they said, yes, that is for me, before Jesus ever went to the cross and believed God. But when they died, they had to go to Abraham's bosom until Jesus came, and they got born again, and would take them to heaven. They looked way ahead. Listen, they looked, some people in the old covenant, they looked and saw the resurrection. They looked and saw some of the things that were going on today. And yet, they would never be privy to them on the earth. But they saw them. The Bible says they saw them afar off, and they embraced them. They saw the born-again experience in the blood of Jesus. They saw it in old covenant. They saw it way out in the future. And they saw it, and they said, I receive it, and I embrace it. Even though they wouldn't experience it. Until Jesus died and went to the cross and was glorified, etc., etc. Amen. They kept on being faithful. They didn't say, Lord, and if they were in the Old Testament, they said, Lord, if you don't get me born again in the Old Testament, I'm going to be bad and backslide. They didn't say that. They looked ahead to the born-again experience. They looked ahead to everything that would be going on in the people one day that would praise God. Even though they wouldn't be a part of it, they looked ahead and embraced it, said, thank God for it. I'm just talking about, listen, resisting the devil, giving glory to God, and being faithful. Amen. Not judging yourself and judging everybody else on how effective you are. You're probably a whole lot more effective than you think you are. Amen. And you may be in a mess, but I'm going to tell you something. Everything's not a mess. Oh, yeah, I got a mess in my life, Pastor. If you just look around, everything's not a mess. You just think everything's a mess. Amen? You've been messy, and you think everything's a mess, but it's not. It's not. The thing is to be faithful. The thing is to be faithful. Where was I a while ago? First Peter, okay. Was it First Peter chapter 4? Okay. I appreciate y'all so much. I've even got water tonight. No, I'm taking some stuff and it dries my mouth out. You talk about spitting cotton. I'm fixing to start spitting cotton here, and we're going to have to get a brush arbor somewhere and really have church, amen? I mean, I'm going to spit on the whole front row. I will. And she's leaving. But you better remember how Jesus spit one time. How Jesus spit. Jesus spit. All I got has a little mud, sister. I get a little dirt and spit on that dirt, and I'm dangerous. You got to forget that the spit's not always bad anyway. It says, if I spit on you, you get a little dirt off the bottom of your shoe and just wipe it in there. Glory to God, I'll receive it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's a scripture. I'll show it to you in the Bible. If you don't see plainly, I'll spit on you again. You get enough, we'll do it again. Amen. Next time, we're going to have some clarity. That's right. I like for a preacher to spit all over the place every once in a while. Chapter 4, the Bible says, verse 6. And the Bible said, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. At due time now, you gotta do some standing. And the Bible said, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant for your adversary the devil. You know I hate the devil, don't you? For your adversary the devil, he's adverse to me. That dude, he is adverse to me. We've been trying to get me some sleep and cause the kidney stones, first one thing and then another. And so we laid down one night and the devil stirred up all kind of elements against you. I mean, he really got to, he sucker punched me a time or two. But the first night I think I tried to get to sleep, he had four cats right outside my window. Screaming, fussing, fighting. I mean, they were battling it out. I've got an old tomcat named Dipstick. And Dipstick has been snake bit. He's been shot at. He's been, this guy, I mean, he's been everywhere. You know, he's a true tomcat. I truly respect him. Amen. He's done everything a tomcat ought to do. Any other tomcats come into my yard, Dipstick's on him. But he's getting old. He's like me. He's getting old. His head's kind of crooked like this now. Since the snake bit him, his head went crooked. And now he kind of walked. And he's deaf. But I'm going to tell you, that night, man, Dipstick was into it with a couple of cats. Well, that woke me up. See, I'm talking about how the devil, he's your adversary. He's like a roaring lion. He's walking around seeing who you may divine. The next night, we had a thunderstorm that acted like it just come right down on the top of my house, right on my bedroom, and just went boom right over my bedroom. Woke me up, woke Cherry up. So next time we prayed, we did. I promise you, we said, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I command you, I forbid you to mess with any animals around here. You will not jack around with the animals. I command you, you won't mess with the weather, you know. I said, you're not going to send no storm, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and had to pin him down real, real good. Amen. Had a pretty good night that night. No cat fights, no thunderstorms. He can use some things. Well, it says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, they might exalt you in due time. And he's going to exalt you, casting all your cares on him. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, Brother Michael's read this 1,000 times to you, I know, walks about, he's walking about seeking whom he may devour, because he can't devour everybody. He can't devour you if you don't let him. He can't devour you if you say, I don't want to be devoured. You know, if you say, you're not devouring me tonight, then he has to go somewhere else. Because he has to walk in, he has to pick. And one of them, it talks about worriers in here. It says, cast all your cares. It talks about the rebellious and the worried. The first one, submit, he says, under the mighty hand of God. Don't be a rebel. Don't be a rebel. And then he says, cast all your cares and don't worry. Because the devil's walking around looking for all the rebels and looking for everybody that's worrying that he may be able to devour. Amen. All the worriers, all the paranoid people, all the fearful people. The Bible said the fearful will have a place in hell. And, you know, I grew up with a lot of fear around me. And when you grow up with a lot of fear around you, and, man, you have to deal with that fear because you're an automatic alarmist. You know what I mean? I mean, something happens and your tachometer on your car goes from about zero to about 8,000 RPM. You're already. I mean, everybody else is wondering what's happening and wondering if something's wrong, and you're already ready. You know what I'm saying? I mean, before you got saved, you got into it's just everything's a catastrophe. Oh my God, what's going to happen? Cherry has to deal with me about that sometimes, even now. Because something'll happen, and man, my tax done redlined. You know, and nothing's ever happened yet. Nothing's gone wrong yet. You know, and Cherry, she'll be idling at about 2,000 RPMs, going, not using much gas, not wearing herself out. And I'm over on about 8,000 RPMs, using all the gas I can. I mean, running my car ragged. Amen. I need to get to a mechanic. In Jesus' name. The Bible says, it says to cast all your cares upon Him. Now listen to this. Walks them out in seeking whom He may devour. Whoever He can devour, because He can't devour everybody. And the Bible says, whom resist. It says, who you resist, steadfast in the faith. It says, submit your life unto God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And he will flee from you. And then he says right here that he's going around like a roaring lion looking to see who he thinks he may be able to get to. That if he comes to you and tries you, that you turn around and you resist him. And you say, get thee behind me, Satan. I command you to go from me in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to let you, gum me to death all night long tonight. Amen. I'm not going to be your meal tonight. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You know, I just rebuke you. Just give him a good going over. Or who resists steadfast, he'll get you sleep, man. He'll get this, he'll get everything he can. Who resists steadfast, it says who? Antihistamine. Antihistamine him, steadfast in the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in it means he's trying to do the same thing to them. It says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Now listen to this. This is what you don't want to hear. But even the ones who don't want to believe it and say it's not true, they still go through it. So it's just, you know, it says, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Means after you stand there for a while and you talking to them warts and them warts still aren't going. After you stand there for a while and you're talking to that insomnia still don't want to go. When you've been working on this thing for a while, and I mean the devil's been there, it's just about to wear you out. I mean, you are suffering. You are suffering. You are suffering like you are. And people that are well, I found this out. Everybody that's well, they don't even think about the people that are sick. You know, I know this last time when I got sick for a little while, it's like everybody that's well, they live in a world of wellness. And people that's sick, they live in a world of sickness over here. And the well people don't even think about the sick people very often whatsoever. Amen? And you're over there, brother. And if you die right now today, next week, they're not even going to remember you. You're going to be at the funeral home and center is right here. And it's about 200 yards down to where the square is. From the time they look at that and figure out that that's your body laying down there till they get to the corner right here, they've done forgot you. Amen? And you suffer. And you suffer in the nighttime when everybody's asleep. Like Dodie Osteen said, when she had cancer, she said, lay up in the middle of the night hurting. You know, they said you got, I think it was pancreatic cancer. You're going to die. You're not going to make it. She said the worst time was in the middle of the night. She said she went days without sleep. When you go without sleep, she said it does something to you. Until she finally found and God blessed her and she said, I'm going to live and not die. Amen. I mean, she had cancer. And listen, y'all, she resisted it. And she's well today. She's well today. She's still around today. My mother's the same way. She's had it. She's well. She's still around today too. I'm going to tell you something. If you've got it, may not anybody here. If you've got it, you can beat it. Let me tell you something. You can beat it. If you got, if that stuff is on you, I'm going to tell you, I could probably take time and go over 10 people that with them and God have beat that stuff. Beat it back into submission, and they hadn't seen anything out of it for 5 years. And I got two or three in my church right now. I got three in my church. One right here had it cancer-free right now. Got another woman over there. She had it. She's cancer-free right now. I got another lady right here that had it. And, man, she's coming to church acting like she's cancer-free. I don't know if she is or not. But I'm going to tell you, they're knocking it in the head. They're resisting it with everything they got. They're believing God and going to the best doctors they can go to. They're not going to lay down and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to die. They're going to resist it. And if nothing else, put on my tombstone, bless God, he died resisting God. I won't be ashamed and I won't be embarrassed. Because when I die, I ought to die believing God and I ought to die resisting the devil. Can I have an amen? Just say, well, Brother Don resisted. He was just kind of dumb. He was the dumb resister. And he should have resisted in a different way. You know what I'm saying? But man, but don't go. You know, it's kind of like playing baseball, and the coach will always tell him, hey, son, go down swinging. You know, don't stand there and let those balls come out. Strike one. You know, paralyze. Strike two. Strike three. You know, the coach will say, swing you something. Go ahead and take a cut at it there, boy. You ain't got nothing to lose. You're not even swinging. You know, the next time one comes, swing at it. I mean, resist it. Resist that thing a little bit. And y'all seen the deal in Virginia Tech. And you know, all that started in by the time I went in the Army when a guy got up in the tower at Austin. University of Texas, and started shooting people from the tower up there. And then you had the one, Columbine, you had that one. Now you got threats all over the place, and they had these 30 dead here. And this is kind of my opinion right here, so don't stone me for this, okay? But when that guy comes in with them two pistols like this, and he starts on the front row, and he starts on the second row. And he starts on back, on goes on back to the back. Now listen, if about four guys, you know, would have jumped up, about four, probably took four, would have probably been enough, and grabbed their desks and rushed him, he would have probably killed one of them. But that's not 31. It would have been better to resist. Not let that crazy dude walk down the hall and walk in and shoot, and nobody doing walk to the next room and shoot. He should have had people chasing him down the hall trying to jump on his dumb self. Can I have an amen? Amen. About four or five good men, I'm telling you, four or five good men would have grabbed them wooden desks and put them up like that and went at this guy, and they would have had him. And he would have probably killed one of them. And it'd probably been me. They got Brother Don, but you know, a lot of times they're going to get the spearhead. They're going to get the tip of the tip of the spear. He's liable to get it because he's the spearhead. You know what I'm saying? Jesus was the spearhead, and it looked like it. You know, at the cross, it looked like it broke him off. But God put him back on there. Amen. God put him back on there. You know the plane? You know the airplane? The one that did not get to its destination? The one that landed in the field? Where was it headed? Was it the White House? Going to the White House. Thank God for cell phones. Well, four or five guys, whatever it is, said they made up their decision because in the other two, they just, you know, well, whatever happened. I'm not judging them, so this is my opinion. Don't get mad. Don't get too mad at me. My deal is, I think you need to resist the devil. Amen. And I believe it's in the Bible to do that. Well, that's the devil. That's the devil all over the place. So, I mean, you know, two of them just fly wherever they want that thing to go. But in one of them, there's about four or five guys that said they done got on their cell phones and they said, no, this plane is not going into the White House. It may go into the ground, But it ain't going into the, it's not going into the wine house. I mean, you got some guys now that's talking like World War II guys. Can I have an amen? They're talking about guys like Ola. These guys that drove the planes over to Japan knew they wasn't going to be able to come back. Knew they were giving their life for this thing anyway. They said, yeah, it's going, but it ain't going into no wine house. And they rushed it. You know, I was told they got that big old thing, you know, where they give you the little nuts and the Cokes. You know, and the mixed drinks if you drink. And brother, they got to run and go and bam, through there. And they got in there. And they got a hold of them some Arabs. Can I have an amen? And once they got in there, that plane didn't go where the devil wanted it to go. It went into the ground. And all those people were killed, but there would have been more killed had it went into the White House. Because some people decided, you know what, we believe we're going to resist this. We believe we're going to fight this thing. We don't believe we're going to sit right here and let you fly this thing into the White House. We just don't believe we're going to let you do that. Amen. Amen. And you have to stand up to the devil. I don't believe I'm going to let you do what you want to do. I know you want to fly my family into the White House, but I just don't believe I'm going to let you do that. I believe I'm going to stand up like the Bible says. I believe I'm going to, man, it reminds me of all those guys that hit those beaches, and I'm not going to get off, but hit those beaches. You ever look at that historical channel? And all them guys, man, and they're coming in those big metal boats, and they're setting that back behind that thing. And I mean, there's nothing but German machine guns and all kind of guns up there, and they're huddled behind that, and that thing flops down, and they come out of there running with those M1s, bless God. I mean, falling, getting shot all to pieces, and running up to that bank to take that thing for the United States of America. Can I have an amen? I'm talking about risk. If somebody said, no, we're gonna resist. We're gonna resist Hitler. Well, a lot of people said we're not. No, we're not going to. And boy, he just shh. But somebody said no. And Britain said no. You'll never take us. Churchill said you'll never do it. You'll never do it. Stalin in Russia, and they said you'll never do it. I'm gonna say it's a couple of pretty crazy guys. Hitler, and whoever that Japanese guy was. They got together somewhere in a room, and they thought of it. They decided that Hitler said, I'm going to take Europe, and I'm going to take Russia. Can you imagine being so crazy that you think you're going to take Russia? Oh, that's a big country. And can you imagine being so crazy? I wish I remember that guy's name, the Japanese guy's name. But he was going to get the United States. They was going to slice it up. Japan was going to get the United States. And Hitler was going to get Europe. I mean, what a dream. Hey, in their dreams, amen? In their dreams. And when that old Japanese guy walked on the Missouri, I think it was the USS Missouri, to sign the surrender, deal, he said, out of his own book, he said, I looked around at that ship and all those soldiers on the Missouri and all those American soldiers, and he said, I wondered how we ever thought that we was going to conquer the United States of America. He said, I wonder how, he thought, what were we thinking? It's just a little island over there, you know, that they're going to take the United States, and Hitler says, yeah, I'll take Europe. And the United States and Great Britain stood up to resist that and came together, and Australia and a bunch of others came together to resist that. And bless God, we're not speaking German. Amen. Amen. We're not speaking German, and we sure ain't speaking Japanese. Amen. Come on. I'm not having to speak Japanese tonight. Of course, we would have had to have some kind of an underground deal, because me and Mo, we'd have never spoke German or Japanese no kind of way. Amen. You know, I'm not going to get on the French. Please don't let me get on the French. But I tell you one thing they did do. They had a pretty good French underground. It wasn't too bad. They had a pretty good French resistance underground. That was about it. Now I want you to look in the book of Romans chapter 12. The book of Romans chapter 12. verse 21. So see, since that all through the Bible that we resist the devil, that's what we do with him. That he will flee from us. And it says right here, sometimes it's hard. I believe this is really talking about when there's people involved. But it says, be not overcome of evil. Okay, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil or resist evil with good. Amen. It says, be not overcome of evil. Some people will read the scripture. Well, it says, don't resist evil. It says you're not supposed to resist evil. It does not preach in that Bible to not resist evil. It does not preach in the Bible to not resist the devil. It does not preach. If you look at the ministry of Jesus, I mean, if there was a fever, I rebuke you, fever. You are out of order. If there was a storm, you know what the storm actually says in the Amplified Bible, in the literal Greek where it says, peace, be still, it actually says, be muzzled. Like a dog. It said, be muzzled. Shut up. You're out of order. And the Bible says that all the elements and all creation actually knows. I mean, when they hear that word, and that's when it gets real effective when you and I are talking about it, somehow all of creation recognizes Jesus' voice. Did you know that? Fig tree recognizes his voice. The devils recognize his voice. Thievers recognize who's talking to them. I mean, withered arms, you know, they say, oh, that's the master's voice, you know. And somebody says, yeah, but that's Jesus. But I'm going to tell you something. When you get close enough to the word and you get in that word and get wet enough and you kind of grease your skids good enough and get a little bit of anointing on it, then when you start to talk to it, it will begin to hear, not you, but listen, when you talk to a sickness and it hears Jesus, in your voice, it'll leave. But if it just hears you, it'll stay. If the devil just hears you, it's just going. If he just hears you, he's going to stay. But if he hears, listen, if he hears Jesus in your voice, and you can study the Word of God, and you can get close enough till Jesus will get in your voice, and man, that then when you're preaching and he's in your voice, people don't, they're not really listening to you. They're really listening to him. And when you're talking to that sickness and that sickness hears Jesus, it leaves. Amen. But it takes some communion. It takes some time. It takes some fellowship sometime. But I'm going to tell you, you're not doing a whole lot until you get Jesus in your voice. You say, well, what about confession? Man, I believe you confess it and proclaim it and confess it. Until you get Jesus in your voice. And then when he gets in your voice, it's going to happen. Everything's going to move that needs to move. Diseases are going to move. Everything's going to work. But I'm going to tell you, it submits to Jesus, not you. It submits to Jesus in you, amen? I knew one guy, and he had a vision, and I'll quit here pretty quick. He had a vision, and the devil was coming at him. Walking towards, it's been a long time, we'll try to tell this right. The devil was coming toward him, and then all of a sudden, Jesus appeared. He thought, well, this is good. You know, because the devil was coming after him. And then here comes, and then Jesus gets in the middle, and he said, well, this is good. But then he said, Jesus started backing up. He said, oh, man, why is Jesus backing up? And so Jesus was about right out here, and the other guy was about right here. And Jesus appears right there, and he starts backing up. The devil's coming. He's backing up. And he said Jesus backed up right into him. And then when Jesus backed up into him, he lifted up his hand and he said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go. Because when the devil heard Jesus in his voice, he moves. Amen? He moves. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. He goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, because he can't devour everybody. But he's going to devour the ones that he can. You may fight for a while some symptoms and stuff like that. One will tell you that's tough, and I feel for you. I feel for you. But the child didn't come with Abraham just automatically. The fig tree didn't just go automatically. The Bible says the lepers were healed as they went. And so sometimes there's a time frame. And I pray for you that you'll be able to hold up through that time frame and keep on, just like Abraham, just keep on going out every night and praising God. Lord, I praise you and I thank you that you have already past tense made me the father of many nations, and it's going to come into manifestation in my life. I thank you and I praise you for it. Give you all the glory for it in Jesus' name, and you'll do that until that thing manifests in your life. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord God, for being so good to us. We lift up your word. The word's solid and good, whole all the way through. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that it answers every question. It really does answer every question. Sometimes we don't want to dig for the answers, you know, but it's kind of like it's kind of buried almost, like jewels buried in a mountain. And you kind of dig for them and you seek them and you go for them. But there really is an answer for everything. For everything. So, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you. I pray, Lord, for my brother over here, Lord, that has the problems with the kidneys, whatever all that is. We just lift him up in the name of Jesus. Just pray with him. We just pray over him and in agreement with him, Lord God. We know what he's believing. And so we thank him. We praise you for your healing and your goodness and your grace. And we just rebuke Satan. We rebuke and resist every attempt. We command you to be muzzled and bound in the name of Jesus. Command you to go. Command you to stop your operations and cease your maneuvers against him in any way. Get off of his property. Don't linger around it. Don't influence it in any way. And Father, we loose. The Bible said, you said, whatever we bind and loose, Lord, we loose the Holy Spirit by faith. We loose healing. And the angels of God, Lord, that hearken unto your word to do everything relative to him that God is your will to do. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for the two good reports that he has. We thank you, Lord, for two good reports tomorrow. And we're going to give you all the praise and give you all the glory. If there's anybody, if you need prayer tonight, we'll believe God with you. If you need prayer tonight, then you need to come on and let's pray with you. Let's pray over you. And then you can start right there. You can start when you get home. That's fine, whatever you want to do. But I'm going to tell you, I've learned my lesson. I've learned to get help. I've learned not to try to do everything myself, believe my way out of everything. Now, you know, when I have a hard time, I call two or three people I can really trust, and I hardly ever go at these things by myself anymore. I'll have two or three people hitting that thing with me. You know, one will put 1,000, two will put 10,000. You know, I'll have two or three people that's with me standing against this thing. And I call it splinting. You know, that's like putting splints on a broken leg. One guy will get on this side and one guy will get on that side. We'll all three believe God. One will raise up Moses' arms this way and one will raise up Moses, Aaron, and Hur the other way. And they'll all three believe God. Amen. I mean, this long range solo business, I'm going to do it myself. You might not be able to do it yourself. I mean, we're all the body of Christ. I mean, there's people that can help us, people that will help us if we ask them, if we won't be too proud. And ask them and say, listen, I need you to believe God with me. Ask people that's not going to talk about it. They're going to pray about it. And find two or three that will stand with you and that will believe God. So Father, we thank you and we praise you right now. We lift up Brother Michael and Brenda, Lord, that they're, I thank you, Lord, that he's anointed and doing a lot of good. I thank you that he's faithful, Father God, to go where you tell him to go, to say what you tell him to say. I thank you, Lord God, he's not just in it trying to, quote, see how effective he can be. He's just trying to see how faithful he can be to everything you've called him to do. And I thank you for a faithful church right here, Lord, that stays here and worships God and praises God on Sundays and on Wednesdays. And they're faithful to do it. And that in itself, let me tell you, that in itself, that action is a resistance to the devil. It is a resistance to the devil. If this church wasn't here, it wouldn't be as good around here. It would not be as good around here if this church wasn't here, because the salt resists. It resists. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for it. We love you, Lord God. We give you all the glory for every good thing. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen.
Amen. Amen.